Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 227, recorded Monday, November 30th, 2015. Ad blocking. Triangulation is brought to you by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost, automated investment service that is the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit wealthfront.com/triangulation to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's wealthfront.com/triangulation. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more. And by Igloo Software. Igloo is an intranet you'll actually like. Use blogs, calendars, file sharing forums, task management, and wikis to work better together with your teams. Sign up now and try it for free at IgloSoftware.com/TWiT. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get together with some of the most interesting people in technology. We talk about techie things, find out more about them, and in this case, talk about a very big subject that is not new to TWiT, not new to our conversation, but I think this is the first time we've ever had people who actually make ad blockers on the show, and I think that's fantastic, a chance to hear from the people who make the products behind ad blocking technology. I'll start with Dean Murphy, because he's the new kid on the block. Dean Murphy developed Crystal for iOS, the number one iOS ad blocker, and that's only as of iOS 9 when Apple turned on that capability. And Dean, you kind of stumbled into the game, the ad block game.
Yep, I just fell in headfirst. Pretty accidental, really.
You told me that you, when you were here in the studio, that you just did it for yourself at first, and then thought, well, I'll put it out on the App Store, see what happens.
Yeah, it just starts off as an experiment, and just grew very out of hand.
Yeah. How many units have you sold so far?
How many units? I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head. The only number I really looked at was the first 24 hours when I made it free, and it got over 100,000 downloads.
Jeez Louise.
In less than 24 hours, yeah, when it was
I
made it free.
So. Don't you wish you'd been charging a buck for it?
And then I changed it. It was free for 24 hours, and then I've been charging $1 for it since.
Well worth it. Also joining us, two of the people behind the best known and maybe even the oldest, one of the oldest ad blockers, AdBlock Plus. Thomas Greiner is the global partnership manager for AdBlock Plus. He's joining us from, you're in Germany?
Yes, in Cologne.
In Cologne. Beautiful Cologne.
It's now rainy, so.
Yeah, it's rainy here, too. It's still beautiful. And that cathedral is the number one, I didn't realize this, tourist destination in all of Germany.
And yep, and we got a view of it.
Do you?
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. Also from nice. AdBlock Plus, one of the developers, Job Plus, and you're in the UK today.
No, I'm also located in Germany.
Oh, you're in Germany, too, just an hour different time zone. Dean, you're in the UK.
Yes, I'm in the UK.
Okay. Go ahead, Job. I'm sorry.
No, it's just that I'm the global partnership manager, and Thomas, he's the developer.
I got that mixed up. Sorry.
Yes.
I won't do that again. It says so on the screen if I would just read it.
A lot of people on the show today.
So who came up with the idea for AdBlock Plus? Where did that come from?
So in 2006 or so, our previous CTO, now developer, Vladimir Palant, basically saw this project that was called AdBlock, which is unrelated to the current AdBlock, and thought about improving it, making some changes. But because the project wasn't actively maintained anymore at that point, he basically forked it off and created AdBlock Plus out of that. So since 2006, AdBlock Plus exists and has been actively developed. And until 2011, it was just a hobby project. until he decided that it's just too much for him to develop it alone.
Yeah.
So he brought some other people in, developed the Acceptable Ads initiative and so on. And like a few years later, here we are.
AdBlock Plus, as I use it, is a Chrome extension. You also have...
It's Firefox, Chrome, Opera, Safari, Maxton, Internet Explorer.
Everybody.
You name it.
Everybody but Edge, because they don't support that yet, but they will.
Not yet.
Not yet. But you also make a browser for mobile devices called the AdBlock browser, which has AdBlock built in. So you could use it on iOS, but you don't make it a Safari extension. You have to use the AdBlock Plus browser.
Yeah, so Safari extensions are basically those content blocking extensions that Dean will definitely talk about. But yeah, what we thought is like the best user experience is really just provide an app to that someone can download, that they just install and can just serve ad-free. Rather than, for instance, on Android, you can also install Firefox Mobile and install the AdBlock Plus extension on it, which is the same one as on desktop. But that's just too tricky for most people to figure out. The tech savvy, obviously, they do know about it and they also use that. But for the not as tech savvy, we also provide this simple go-to option with the AdBlock browser.
Yeah. So I'm interested that AdBlock began so long ago because really, for most of the world, all the attention to ad blocking occurred only recently. Partly because of Apple adding it to iOS 9, but... No, even before then, in the last year or so, as ads got more and more intrusive, more and more annoying, people became more interested in ad block technology. And yet, you go back a lot farther than that. Is it your sense that ads are getting worse, Yob, or is this just people are becoming more aware of it?
Oh, I think. Ads are first of all definitely getting worse. I think the kind of like innovation that we've seen over the last years has only been to annoy the user more, to get like more annoying ads into their browser. So I think they're definitely gotten more annoying over time. However, I think people always have been annoyed with ads, also like in 2006 already. And yeah, people really wanted to take control of their browser, and that's why they install AdBlock Plus.
So when we talked, and I wish we had been able to do this while you guys were in town because you were here. In fact, we met because you came with unannounced to a Twit taping, and I was thrilled to find out you were there after the show. If I'd known, I would have made it a different kind of show. But when we talked, I proposed three reasons why people might use an ad blocker, and I'm wondering if this matches your experience. One is, of course, because ads are intrusive, annoying, and there's just some people who say, I don't want ads of any kind, period. I don't like marketing messages and I don't want to see them. There's also a group of people who say, well, it also is degrading browser performance. It's adding, in some cases, hundreds of megabytes to the download of a page. Pop-ups sometimes obscure the page. It's annoying. It's not that I hate all ads. I just hate annoying ads. And the third group, and also quite reasonably, is worried about security, especially with flash ads and ads that use JavaScript and can inject malware into your machine through vulnerabilities in the machine or the browser. Those are three, I think, of the big reasons for ad blocking. Are there others that you know of? Anybody?
Yeah, I think privacy has been
privacy. Like a, yes.
Yeah, I think especially since Snowden, I think you can really see a movement that people really want to actively protect their privacy online and are in charge of what kind of like data people can collect of them and whatnot. And AdBlock Plus is also one of the more powerful privacy tools out there. We have AdBlock Plus works based on filter lists, so it comes with like one ad blocking list by default. But if people want to protect their privacy, you can install like this easy privacy list, and that is going to then really protect your privacy online and make sure that like all of the trackers are going to be disabled. And I think that has also been one of the catalysts in the growth that we've seen over the last years.
Absolutely, especially recently, that people have become very aware of that. So I think it's Dean, you kind of coming into the game as with iOS, you faced full on the onslaught. of people who are wanting all four, ad blocking for all four reasons, but also the backlash. And of course, one of the people who made an ad blocker that competed with Crystal, your ad blocker, Marco Arment, very famously decided after only a few days to pull out and refund money to all of the people who'd bought his ad blocker, because he said while he felt strongly about ads, he didn't. This was a war he didn't want to be a combatant in. When you saw that, what did you think?
I knew exactly how he felt for a start. Being one of the top ad blockers, and you know, getting a lot of press as well. You know, it's a lot of attention that you're not used to, or me especially, I'm not used to. But Marco as well. I don't think he wanted to, you know, put that effort in. Like, you know, it sounded like more of a side project for him, because he mainly works on his podcast and his podcast app. Yeah, Overcast. So I don't think he wanted to put the effort and the fight in to fix ads. That wasn't something that he was that passionate about. He was just, which is something I'm looking to, which is why I'm continuing on with Crystal, and why I think a lot of other content blocker developers are moving forward too.
Why did you decide to be a combatant?
Just because I'm sick of the online experience and I've got nothing better to do with my time. I haven't got like a... there's a serious answer. I haven't got like a podcast app. And
You found a good living too, I'm sure, doing this.
Yeah, I mean, with Crystal, I've been able to quit my job and work on it full time, which is absolutely brilliant. So I can focus my time 100% now to something that I'm really enjoying, really passionate about.
Well, I want to direct to all three of you then the challenge that people like me raise with ad blockers, which is, in fact, I think part of the reason Marco got out of this, because, you know, Marco was blocking ads on his own site, marco.org, blocking ads on his friend's site during fireball.net, John Gruber's site, and realized that ad blockers are kind of a blunt weapon, and also was, I think, sensitive to the concerns of a lot of, especially small sites, but all sites of all kind, that rely on advertisement to support. We're ad-supported on Twit, and there almost seems to be an ethical issue here. If you are consuming the content but not paying for it but with your attention on the ads, not with money, but with your attention on the ads, then it's some people have even likened it to stealing, shoplifting, walking into a store and taking a candy bar and saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to pay you for this. So I want to open this to all three of you, because I'm sure that, you know, you've thought a lot about this morally. Why don't I start with you, Thomas?
Sure. Well, ads have been around for quite a long time. Like, I've seen this image of, like, the first banner ad, which is ancient by nowadays standards. And people have adopted ads in the beginning. And they just, I think, got too used to them and now think, like, ads are the only way on how they can monetize on the web. And that's just not true. Like, we'd like to encourage different ways on how they can monetize, because it's interesting, for instance, that they spend more resource and more effort on trying to force ads onto the visitors of their site rather than coming up with alternatives, maybe alternatives that fit their site better, fit their company better than advertising, because advertising is just a may not fit every business in the world, so it's tricky. But that's what I mean. Like, it's you can't always rely on ads to be there. You have to think outside of the box in some cases.
Yeah, but I might say that's none of your business to tell me how I should monetize my business. I've chosen to monetize it this way.
No, but what we do is basically we just give the user the voice. Like, everyone can block the ads. Everyone can create a host file, for instance, to block specific domains. They can create their own ad blocker. According to some Google VP or so, every 9-year-old can create an ad blocker, so go on. Obviously, it's a difference to create a high-quality ad blocker.
That's what Steve Gibson kind of alluded to when, I mean, he, by the way, our security guy and host of Security Now, is very much in favor of ad blockers. He said it's not like stealing candy from a shop, because I'm not sure if I'm expressing this exactly, because I don't quite buy it, except what I think he's saying is It's more like saying, I don't want to see billboards as I drive down the highway. And because the technology exists to do so, and I think you're kind of saying this too, Thomas, because it's the technology exists and it's easy to implement, then why shouldn't we? But, well, let me ask Dean. I mean, you've recently been faced with this, you know, in some ways, moral, ethical conundrum. Do you feel bad about websites that you're basically allowing people to use without paying for?
What I feel bad about is the websites in the first place where they've just degraded the user experience by adding, you know, 5 or 6 different ad networks at the same time and several trackers running in the background.
Yeah.
Like one of the big performance gains of Crystal is when I've run a test earlier in the year, is it used about 50% less data.
Well, it's remarkable. Yeah.
Yep. And speed up the page loads by 4 times. And that's a huge difference, especially if you're in like a low network area, roaming abroad, for example.
So you could difference. Say a nefarious site is stealing my bandwidth.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. Right? A site that really takes it, ways. Does this, is being, you know,
bandwidth
stealing from
time.
Me.
Bandwidth and time.
Yeah. Well, Yob, you raised this issue of privacy in this. Do you think, though, I'll give you an example. I'm looking at John Gruber's Daring Fireball, and I'm running AdBlock Plus. And where there would normally be an ad here in the left-hand column, there's no ad. Now, it's easy enough for me to go into AdBlock Plus and see that one ad was blocked and to disable AdBlock Plus and refresh the site and see the ad. These are not ads that are using up a lot of bandwidth. There's the ad. It's not very big. It's just a little image with a little link. These are ads that are not invading my, as best I can tell, the deck doesn't invade my privacy. That's the ad network they use. And this is how John makes a living. There's no other charge or cost to his website, which I think many would agree is very useful.
Yeah, absolutely, and we at AdBlock Plus we agree with that. So, where AdBlock Plus has been different historically, basically since 2011, is that we've said that, like, just exactly as you were saying, just this black and white ad blocker that can be very destructive for the web as we know it, for all of the great free content that is out there. So what we've been saying since 2011 is that ads are still okay. We are not necessarily against ad as long as they are very unobtrusive and comply with a certain set of criteria that we set and that we are calling acceptable ads. These acceptable ads, we are showing these to our users by default, like in AdBlock Plus. So for example, the ad that you just showed, that would be perfectly in compliance with our acceptable ad criteria. And that would be one of the ads that we can show users.
Except you didn't.
No. The
is that because they didn't pay to be in the acceptable ad program?
Oh, no. So only 10% of the really large companies, they have to pay. For 90%, it's completely free. We do the addition to the whitelist, the monitoring, consultancy, everything for free.
But the deck is not whitelisted, obviously.
So I wouldn't know that from the top of my head.
I can tell you because
since it wasn't showing.
It's not whitelisted. Yeah. Yeah. Disappeared it by turning an ad blocker on. So. Mm.
Yeah, so John Gruber, he can shoot us like an email, and we will be able to whitelist this ad and show this to all of our tens of millions of users by default, probably in the same week even. And that is exactly this kind of like balance that we try to strike with AdBlock Plus, with still allowing publishers to monetize on the one hand, but still significantly increasing the user experience for users that have opted out of traditional forms of advertising, online advertising.
Dean, you said when we talked that you were adding this acceptable ad policy, not by default, but you were going to add that capability to Crystal. Have you done that yet?
Not yet, no. Yeah. I've been a bit jet-lagged and you know, busy with travel in San Francisco.
But you like that idea?
Yeah, definitely. I like the option, provide the options to the users, because I didn't want to go into this punishing every website, but that's kind of how ad blocking works. You can't really, it's hard to differentiate.
It's a blunt weapon, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. But it's like the worst websites, it's great for the worst websites, but then for the better websites, like John Gruber's website, where it's just one little ad and his sponsored feed. It's a blunt weapon, as you say.
Yeah.
So I'm going to offer it as an option for anyone who wants to use it, and I do recommend using it.
I want to get more into this. We're going to take a break. I want to get more into this this idea of what is an acceptable ad. How do you get into this? And why big companies are paying? This is such a great time to do this, and I'm really glad. I wish, in fact, that we'd been able to talk to you sooner because, I called it Adblockalypse and the end of the world for ad-supported media. It turns out it hasn't been. And, in fact, I think maybe, Thomas, your utopian idea that maybe this would make advertisers behave better might actually be coming true. We'll talk about that in just a bit. We're so glad to have you with us. Job Plas, who is a global partnership manager at Adblock Plus, Thomas Greiner, who's a developer at Adblock Plus, and Dean Murphy, who has his own ad blocker, Crystal, which is one of the top, if not, is it the top right now, number one ad blocker on the iOS store?
I would probably say it's the most downloaded, if not within the top three, easily.
Yeah, very popular. Part of the reason is because of the benchmarks. I think you posted on your blog where you could really see. That's what got me interested. I said, wow, these sites load three times faster, and they're half as big. That's pretty dramatic. We'll talk more in just a little bit. I also want to encourage you in the chat room. I know we have a lot of people watching in the chat room who have a lot of interest in this. We have, debated this back and forth with our viewers in the chat room, with our hosts. I have mixed feelings about this as an ad-supported network. In fact, if I were self-serving, I would be promoting ad blocking because ad blocking doesn't block ads in podcasts yet. It blocks ads on web pages and on YouTube. And if I really were like Machiavellian, I would say, oh, good, because those advertisers will have to come to us and we're going to make more money. But I really also am very sympathetic to the plight of people who want to do, and I'll talk about why we want to do free ad-supported media, why that's a good thing, all of that coming up in just a bit. But let me do an ad first. Now, if you guys want to put your... You do have the technology. Just put your fingers in your ears. You don't have to take your headphones off, and you don't have to listen. It's kind of weird doing an ad in the show about ad blocking. Our show today brought to you... But see, we pick ads for products that we use, we love. I don't use this one. This is one of the few products I don't use that I advertise. And it's only because I can't. Federal law, the SEC, prohibits me from using Wealthfront. There's a rule against doing customer endorsements for financial investment products. So when we started doing this, Wealthfront said, by the way, Leo, you can't open an account. Now I wish I could. Some of the other folks at Twit have, and I know many of you have. Wealthfront is exactly what you're looking for if you're putting money aside for the long term, for the long haul. Now, you got to have savings for retirement, for that rainy day fund. You should be putting money aside if you want to buy a house for the down payment. Maybe college for the kids, college for yourself. But if you're putting money aside for long term, what are you doing to make it grow? Because, inflation is slowly eating away at it. Are you putting it in a savings account? What kind of interest are you getting? Not much. The best thing you could possibly do, I guess, would be to invest in the stock market. But that means you got to pay attention. If you're buying equities or real estate trusts or anything like that, you got to monitor it every few months. You got to rebalance. You can't just ignore it. And, of course, that's what I did. I said I could do this myself and then paid no attention to it for years. Maybe you're hiring somebody to an investment advisor to management. Did you know that that's costing you a lot? 1-3% of what you've got under management and hidden fees for transactions and changes. Wealthfront eliminates all this. No hidden fees for no transaction costs, and you pay 0.25%. And they are doing stuff, frankly, that no human can do because Wealthfront is machine-driven. It is computer-driven. Software. Software designed by the best minds in Wall Street. Over 200 years of experience. People like Burton Malkiel, who wrote The Random Walk Down Wall Street, and Charles Ellis, who wrote Winning the Loser's Game. The investment advisors at Wealthfront have taken their wisdom, their common sense, their brilliance, and they've put it into the software. And the software is working constantly, 24/7, on your behalf, to maximize your investment, doing things humans don't do well, things like tax loss harvesting, direct indexing. They're optimizing your after-tax returns and lowering your tax bill. They're increasing your value all the time. And none of this is in the dark. It's all transparent. You can view all your accounts on the Wealthfront dashboard in a single place, whether it's personal, joint, or retirement. You can see every trade they make on your behalf. It's actually fun to watch what they're doing because it's so interesting, so smart. Tell you what, you can go right now to wealthfront.com/triangulation, and you'll answer a few questions about your time frame, how you feel about risk, and they will tailor a portfolio just for you, and you can get that portfolio free. So you can see exactly what they would invest in for you, personalized. And then, if you decide to invest, you could start with as little as $500, and as I think this is a really nice thing, up to $15,000, your first $15,000, entirely free of charge, not even a quarter of 1%, nothing for life. So they're really giving you a great head start on your future. I want you to try it. I wish I could. Wealthfront.com/triangulation. At least read up on it, get that free portfolio. For compliance purposes, I have to tell you, Wealthfront Incorporated is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing in securities involves risks, and there is the possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit Wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure.
Thank you, Wealthfront, for making triangulation possible. And thank you, Yob Plus, Thomas Greiner from AdBlock Plus, Dean Murphy from Crystal, developers and people behind two of the most popular ad blocking utilities out there. AdBlock Plus is everywhere, both as a plug-in for Firefox and Opera and Safari and, of course, Chrome. That's where I'm running it. But it's also got a, they've also got a dedicated mobile browser, the AdBlock Plus browser, which I've used on Android. It's also available on iOS. Dean Murphy's Crystal is a plug-in for Safari that made its appearance not so long ago, a few months ago, when Apple added ad blocking to iOS and really raised this issue. And I'm glad it did because it brought the conversation up. The Interactive Advertising Bureau, IAB, we are not members of the IAB, although many podcasters are. And IAB also is the trade group for banner ads, ad networks, the people who are putting all these ads on pages that you are blocking, has said, okay, we truce. We surrender. Yes, we went too far. Some of our members went too far with obnoxious ads. And they've proposed a kind of a new standard. What do you think of that, Thomas? Is that something that makes sense? Is that something that you think is a good step forward?
I think any kind of movement in that direction from advertisers, publishers, any kind of stakeholder on the web is a good thing, even if it's a very small one, or even if people interpret some evil stuff into it because of how it's phrased or so. Because that's what we haven't seen in the last 5 years or so since we really started doing that. Because there's always people who say, you can't do that. I'm right, you're wrong, basically. But now that we actually see like people discussing it, we see people working on solutions for the problem, whether they name the problem advertising on the web or ad blocking. It's up to them, obviously.
But so they've proposed this lean ads program, LEAN, light encrypted ad choice supported non-invasive ads. What do you think of it?
So I think that the outline is quite okay. I think like the entire industry needs to move into like this better direction, because like what we're talking about is like I think just some country specific part of the IAB, whereas like other parts of the IAB are still completely against doing such things. So it's still very tricky.
Yeah, IAB put out a press release. Ad blocking is a potentially existential threat to the industry. Actually, after Adblockalypse, after iOS added ad blocking and Crystal became the most popular download on the App Store, I think a lot of us said, oh, it's not that bad. Right. It hasn't been the end of the world for ad-supported media, right?
That's right. I mean, with Crystal or in iOS, with content blockers, there's a very big limitation where it only works in Safari.
Right.
If you're using the Facebook app or Twitter app, that opens within the app's own browser, which doesn't utilize Crystal. So if you click a link that someone shares on Facebook, you're going to see ads on it. And that's
by the way, that's one of the complaints I and others have about this is it pushes content off the free and open web and into these walled gardens and silos of Facebook and Apple News and other places. It's kind of antithetical to our notion of a free and open web, which I think is really one of the greatest inventions of humankind. I'm not going to put that burden on you, Dean. But you don't have to defend it. But let me tell you why we are ad-supported free media. And I grew up in radio, and that's how I always have worked. I've never worked in paid media, ever. I've always worked on radio and television and now podcasting in content that was free. And then you pay for it with your attention to ads like the one we just did. Advertisers pay us. These production costs are not insignificant to produce this content. They make me a living, and they make our staff of 20 people a living. They make our hosts a living. That's how they get paid, from those advertisers. The advertisers, aren't going to pay us if people don't see the ads. And the reason I like ad-supported, and I'm not against pay media at all, although I think if you are adamantly against ads, even you would not like the idea of an internet where everything required you to give them money before you could see it. Imagine going to Daring Fireball and John saying, "Well, you can see this, but you got to subscribe first." That's what my experience when I go to Financial Times or some other papers, and I find it very frustrating. Imagine if everything were like that. And I like to do ad-supported free media because I think it's democratic. I think that everybody can pay attention to an ad. You don't have to be living in the United States and in the middle class to pay a subscription fee. Everybody can see it. If you're a kid and you don't have a job, you can see it. If you're poor and you don't have, you can't spend money on content, you have to spend money on food, you can see it. And I like that. I think it's ultimately democratizing. And it's one of the keys to the free and open internet we have. Do you feel, Yob, that you're undermining that?
No, not at all. I think that's actually a very good point. And that is why from the beginning, we've said at Apple Plus that we see still a role for advertising, just for the reasons that you just very nicely outlined. I wouldn't even be able to say it like that nice, but it... that there is still a role for advertising on the web to be able for publishers to monetize their great free content. So that's one part of the story. The other part of the story is that online advertising has gotten out of hand. So, of course, there's one little ad on John Gruber's page that should be still monetizable also by the ad-blocking audience. But, of course, the video ads, the overlay ads, the pop-ups, the other retargeted ads, for example, those are all like examples of advertising that users do not want to put up with anymore. And it is also up to the user to decide how they want to enter the web online, how they want to browse online. Do you want to browse the web with like pictures, or do you want to with ads or not? It should be up to the user to take charge of that. And I think what is the important thing is to make the distinction between really the unobtrusive, good or acceptable ad, if you will, and just all of the bad ad formats out there. And I think, users are really now in the last years opting out of those annoying ads more and more over the last years.
Yeah, to be completely fair, it is clear that ad networks have gone way too far and that there are sites that are invading our privacy, that are injecting malware, that are just annoying. And it's especially true on mobile, where we have limited bandwidth, limited size screens. And, I've literally stopped going to sites because I can't read them on mobile. I just can't. There's slideshows. They have pop-ups. you know, it's impossible, almost impossible to read them.
Yeah, and the ads are also often very, like, so sensitive that if you're scrolling through a page, then your thumb just, like, accidentally hit, like, the ad, and then, of course, that one triggers like, a pop-up again.
Yeah, every time. Yeah.
And those are the ads that we protect our users from.
It's a, yeah, so it's, a, you know, I don't think there's a... I don't think there is a right. I don't necessarily agree with the IAB that it's an existential threat to content creators, and I don't disagree with you guys. I think that, and I have been running an ad block. And as one of our chat, Emily in the chat room pointed out, I, like most of us, will skip ads if I've got a show on DVR. And there's certain shows, like let's say The Voice or American Idol, where there's so many ads that I can't, I don't watch it live. And they know this, by the way, which is one of the reasons both those shows have live shows that you have to watch if you want to vote for the candidates. You know, they're doing what they can to get you to watch. But I will skip those, right through those ads, because there's so many of them. So maybe I don't want to be in a world where ads are forced underground. That's the other negative impact. The potentially negative impact of this is native content, product placement, ads that are in the content, ads that can't be blocked.
What about John Gruber's site? Because he has a weekly sponsored post. It's clearly described as an ad. It says sponsored before it.
And why do you think he does that? Native. Right?
Exactly, yeah. For he control, you know, an ad blocker's not going to pick that
can't
up.
Can't be blocked.
Yeah, and it works well. It's clearly defined. And
yeah, but you know, I'm an old-fashioned person. I hate that kind of stuff. I think native. I think the reason that people... advertisers buy native content is because they think it's going to trick the reader into believing it's editorial content, it's objective editorial content. Even if it's labeled and blah, 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 they wouldn't buy it if they didn't believe that most people would not notice the label and just think it's editorial. They would conflate it with editorial content. And that's why native content works. It's why we don't do native content. We do advertising. When we do an ad, when you... nothing is paid for by anybody else except me, unless it says, and I say clearly, this is an ad. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. So let's talk about acceptable ads, because that has been, for some, a cause for concern. I think part of it because you will take money from Google, for instance, to be placed in the acceptable ads program. What are your criteria for acceptable ads?
So roughly, we have a big set of criteria. You can easily see that on our website on adblockplus.org. But in a nutshell, the ads, for example, addressing your point of like ads going underground or native ads, they need to be very clearly labeled so that everybody can see it's content that is paid for.
Yeah.
Other criteria is that they cannot be too big, that they are preferably text only, or that it's a small image. Yeah, exactly. Right, there?
I'm looking at the site, yeah.
Yeah.
Static advertisements. No animation, sounds, or similar. I agree. Preferably text only with no attention-grabbing images. Not sure I agree. Remember, advertisers have a problem because we don't see ads. So they often need to do things to grab your attention. So I'm not sure. An image of belly fat. Okay, I agree. It's disgusting. But ad placement. They shouldn't obscure page content. Yes. They should not be placed in the middle of the content. You're reading an article and there's a big old ad. Happens all the time. And so you will enforce this. So if Google starts putting... See, you don't control where the ads are placed. Google ads can be placed by the content provider anywhere. So what
happens
then? Yes,
exactly.
Then?
With those kind of examples, we often work on a publisher basis so that we can keep very tight control and monitor whether those ads are still complying with our criteria.
Good.
Also, before they are actually being allowed on a whitelist, they have to sign this little document saying that they comply with the criteria. And so those are two ways how we try to really enforce it on top of our monitoring.
Advertising should be clearly marked with the word advertising, of course. Let's talk about tracking. That's part of it too. If ads are doing tracking, well, how do you handle that?
So AdBlock Plus by default is an ad blocker. So by default, we are not blocking any traffic, any trackers out
so
of the
So if I have, as I do on my webpage, Google Analytics, you don't block that?
Mm-hmm. No, that's out of, in the default settings, that is not blocked. But we always believe in user choice. So if users do want to disable like any tracking scripts from Google Analytics, they can do that by opting into like this privacy protection list.
Oh,
that
that's
we offer
interesting.
To.
That's it. Yeah. So that's the and this is another one. And I know Dean, you're dealing with this right now. Is the what we call the tyranny of the default? You guys, by making certain choices, are really, in many cases, deciding what the user is going to do. For instance, AdBlock Plus has acceptable ads turned on. In other words, you will allow
Correct.
Acceptable ads through by default. Now, Dean, I know you've been going back and forth about what Crystal's going to do with that.
Yeah, I want it to be I don't want people to turn it on or turn it off without knowing what it is. So I'm still working on getting the messaging right on and presenting it right.
Will you have it be a default, do you think? Default?
Honestly, at this moment, I'm not sure. It's still being looked into.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
Because
yeah,
you know the majority of users, especially iOS users, are not going to change the defaults.
Yeah, that's why I want the messaging to be clear and ideally like a user-presented option, like, do you want this, yes or no?
Right.
Yeah, that gives the user, not turning anything on by default, but just giving that clear option. That's something I'm looking into, but there's lots of different ways to approach this that I'm currently looking at.
Yob and Thomas, would you lobby Dean to turn it on by default?
Absolutely. I'm very busy with that.
Well, definitely
you're working on it?
It definitely made sense for our extension because we have such a large user base. So
right.
Our intention with acceptable ads is basically to get advertisers really to accept this notion of having ads that people accept, that our users accept, so users which have intentionally downloaded an ad blocker to block out those annoying ads. So to get that across, and since almost nobody is using the options, our options page, for instance, and turning it off on manually, we just had to enable it by default. Whether it makes sense for small, a newcomer like Crystal or like other ad blockers to turn that on by default because they have also like more competition, they are less established in the market, for instance. I think that's up to them, but I would encourage them to do that just because that's really showing the ad industry a signal of like here are ads that people actually accept. If they don't accept it, it should be very easy, obviously, to turn that feature off again. So they should be aware of how they can turn it off. It should be very well communicated. So if they really don't like those acceptable ads either, then they will opt out of those as well.
There's a lawsuit. Axel Springer now in Germany is suing. Who are they suing? One of the iOS blockers. Not you, Dean, right?
Not me, not yet.
That must have scared the hell out of you when they saw that. Saying you're putting us out of business. In fact, I know you, Thomas and Yob, are no stranger to this. You were sued by two big publishers, Die Zeit and Handelsblatt in Germany, saying that AdBlock Plus was anti-competitive and threatened their ability to make money. This was back in the spring. What happened?
Well, we were also sued by Axel Springer, but so far we had those three, maybe a fourth, court cases that we won all of them so far. So like every one of them attacked us on a different basis, like copyright, anything that you can imagine, basically. And all of those attempts have failed so far because everyone agrees that ad blocking is a user's choice. We didn't trick some guy into like downloading an ad blocker or so. So they made that intentional choice to download ad blockers and also allow that ad blocker to make the choice for them what to block or not. And if they disagree with the choice, then they can simply uninstall the ad blocker, obviously, or replace it with a different one. And that's I think the foundation of the entire concept. That like the notion of an ad blocker is legal. So far, it looks like that in Germany because we won all of the court cases here. And also that our acceptable ads initiative is legal. So I think that is also an interesting key point here to mention.
There, you have been accused, though, of, well, in the Financial Times of February said that a media company, which didn't name, had been asked to give you 30% of the extra revenues by having the ads unblocked. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think that that's kind of like our kind of like base rate that we usually ask for of companies that we qualify as large. So as I said, currently we of all of the companies and publishers on our website on our whitelist. 90% we do everything for free, but in order to make Adblock Plus and our company sustainable, we are asking the 10% largest companies to make sure that we're becoming like a sustainable.
So is that your only source of revenue?
Yes, we also get like a few donations. So because people are really happy with Adblock Plus and what it does for them, so we also get like donations. But
it's free. But it's a free product.
Yeah. It's free.
And is it so? You say to, let's say Google or whoever, if you want to be in the acceptable ads program, do you insist that they follow the acceptable ads guidelines?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Of course, we often get like the question from big publishers, big ad networks, from like, hey, but what about this great video ad or this overlay? Can't you make like this one exception and show that too? That's the easiest answer for us is always just like no, absolutely not. Everybody, whether you're like a big search engine or you're a very small blog based in out of Russia or the Netherlands or something, everybody has to stick to those criteria because we have like a responsibility to ensure that the browsing experience of our users with Adblock Plus is going to be great. So we have to be very strict of make sure that every ad on our whitelist is complying with our criteria.
And you say to them, if you're in the top 10%, and that's in terms of revenue or number of ads served, is it revenue?
Blocked ad impressions.
Ah, that's a number you know. So if you're in the top 10% of the ad impressions that we have blocked, you must give us 30% of the revenue you would make for us unblocking. Is that roughly
yes.
the deal?
Okay. Yeah, roughly that's correct. So it's basically yeah, Thomas?
Sorry, it's a bit more complicated that. So simple in some other way. Basically, this 10% that we mentioned is 10% of the companies or websites currently on the whitelist are paying. So not the upper 10% of the websites where we block the most ads, for instance.
I see.
So it's really like this notion of whether someone pays or not is really all around like how much would they benefit if we unblock them at their acceptable ads.
Now, Dean, do you get some of that money if you use acceptable ads in Crystal?
Not currently. Once I've implemented the acceptable ads feature, I'll be getting a small share.
So you would get some of that money?
I've opted to go for a very small fixed fee.
So you guys at IO share some of the acceptable ads revenue with other... Do you want all ad blockers to support this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because our vision is really to develop a new standard for unobtrusive ads in the online ecosystem, and we can only really get to that mission if we get everybody, all of the ad blockers, to participate in this, so that we get the most leverage to really like trigger this innovation within the online advertising industry. Yeah. So we have been working with other ad blockers too, and we're very happy that like we see now more ad blockers that are coming with acceptable ads by default. So we're very happy to. To expand this initiative beyond Adblock Plus.
Some of your users are so upset that they stopped using Adblock Plus and went to Adblock. What is the relationship between Adblock and Adblock Plus? You're completely separate companies.
Right.
We are separate companies. So Adblock Plus was the first ad blocker. Adblock was the first ad blocker on Chrome. And since a few months, we are now having a partnership also with Adblock on Chrome. So also Adblock is now coming with acceptable ads. By
oh,
default.
Interesting. So the people who fled Adblock Plus to get to Adblock to get away from acceptable ads, bad news. Now, I got to point out, you can always turn it off, right? Yeah, that's
exactly
what you're about to say.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so really, if you don't like the acceptable ads idea, then just, is it, let me look, is it a simple thing to turn off an ad block plus?
Yeah.
Go to options.
And there it already is.
There it is.
Allow some non-intrusive advertising below.
Oh, I see. Okay, this checkbox right at the bottom of the very first item in the AdBlock Plus app options. And
exactly.
I can view the list of the ad acceptable ads. These are the companies that are serving ads that you don't block, right? Amazon in many countries.
Google. You need to be careful in how you, of course, interpret those filters. So you should know the filter syntax, because like just because something says like web.de on there, for instance, it could just mean that the filter matches a pattern with web.de, and not necessarily that it is for web.de.
So this word, this dollar sign elmhide, this variable here, does that mean do not hide the element with the caret in front of it? Is that
so? This filter would mean don't apply any element hiding filters.
Got
on
it.
So the double at in front of it means it's an exception rule, so it's a whitelist filter.
Got
and
it.
The elmhide is just the option which says what it should apply
to. This is kind of cool. I'm actually looking at the syntax. This is the filter syntax. And I can modify this if I were smart enough to understand
sure,
the syntax.
Sure, you can create your own custom filters as well, add them to the options page. You can create your own filter list, spread the URL to others. If it's very well maintained and it has high quality, then we might even recommend it. So just send us an email if you want to support us with that. We try to keep it very open.
And
the filter syntax is, of course, also documented online on adblockplus.org.
Right. And by the way, you can see here that I have a whitelisted Marco.org. I could whitelist DaringFireball.net as well. And so you can do that manually, as well as doing it in the interface of AdBlock Plus by just unchecking.
Right.
So I'm going to add Daring Fireball, and then I'll be able to see the ads there. Of course, people point out that's a lot of work, and most people are not even going to enter the options ever, ever, ever. But I want to make sure people understand that they do have total control of how this works, including if you're not comfortable with the acceptable ads policy. I think you guys have been very forthright. I mean, I can read what the policy is. I can read who's paying. I can see that myself in the list. So I think I can see who's paying, right? Or not? Do you not publish that list?
No. We don't distinguish currently between the publishers that we whitelist on a pro bono basis and which have to pay. It's one of those things that we want to become more transparent about. But of course, where our hands are also
don't want you to. I'm sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we do try to be as transparent as possible around our business model and what we do. We're continuing working on that.
Dean, this is nice because these guys have IOs paved the way in some ways for you, and you can look. Are you going to implement these kinds of controls as well?
Yes, definitely. The next update I'm looking for is going to include whitelisting, user controlled whitelisting. That's very late to the party on that. I don't have a good excuse for that.
Yeah, but I bet most users aren't pounding on your door for it, are they?
No, given the amount of users there are, I've had very few requests for whitelisting. Very few people have said, I really want this feature.
Yeah. In fact, I would guess most users, what they really want is just block everything. I don't want to see anything. And they don't make, in their minds, they don't connect that to the fact that they're also for those sites removing revenue, ad revenue for is there evidence that this is costing sites money? I mean, do we know that this is costing sites money? Maybe not.
Sites are still in business.
Yeah.
Taking over.
You are seeing some response, and when I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we could talk about that. Some sites are saying, I see you're running an ad blocker. Some cases they're saying, you can't. Verboten, nobody comes in if you have an ad blocker. Some sites are saying, please consider turning off your ad blocker or whitelisting us. So there are various responses to this. And then there's also a little bit more nefarious response with companies trying to get around ad blockers using technology. And I'm going to ask a little bit about that, the escalating war between ad servers and ad blockers. We've got some great guests today and a great topic, and I appreciate the chat room for helping me out with this. Yod Plas and Thomas Schreiner with IO. They are the two people with Adblock Plus. Dean Murphy is his own shop. He's Crystal, which is a mobile ad blocker for iOS, 99 cents, and one of the top ad blockers out there. And you got, I'm seeing right at the top of the front of the page, statement on future integration of acceptable ads. So you're already reaching out to your users to talk about this, Dean. I think that's
Great. There's a lot of miscommunication about an article The Verge wrote and a few other people wrote a few months ago, or about a month or two ago. So I just wanted to put a little statement out there just to explain everything very clearly and just be very transparent about, you know, what's actually going to be changing, what the features are going to be, what it means.
Right.
Basically, what's been discussed today.
Yeah. Well, good. Let me know. I don't want to, I don't want you to have to write an article about how you were misrepresented on Twit. So let make sure all three of you. I want to make sure you get heard. We're talking about ad blocking. We'll have more in just a bit. Our show today brought to you by Here Comes an Ad. But it's an OK ad because it's for one of my favorite companies. I love these guys, Epson. And Epson is a company. They make, of course, lots of products, including great projectors, but also the printers I've used for years, going way back to my MX-80. Dot matrix printer. Of course, we've come a long way, baby. And one of the things Epson's done that I gotta applaud them, pat them on the back for, thank them for, these new EcoTank printers. No more running out of ink in the middle of a print job. EcoTank printers have tanks instead of ink cartridges. Tanks filled with ink when you buy them at the store. Like this, this is the ET4550 all-in-one printer. Really nice printer. Comes with 11,000 pages worth of ink, 8,500 color pages, 11,000 black pages. That's about 50 ink cartridges worth in the box. And then when you run out of ink, you go out and you buy these inexpensive, low-cost refills. Who hasn't been asking for this? This is just brilliant. And, of course, you're using great printers. These are the Precision Core printers that Epson introduced last year. Precision Core, an industrial technology that's now come to the consumer and small office level, where you're getting, these are 40 million drops of ink a second. These print so fast. We're talking on my Epson workforce, I think it's like about 2 or 3 seconds a page. It's just and quiet, beautiful. They're amazing. The page comes out crisp, laser quality black text, beautiful colors. Yes, they have photo printers too, plus auto two-sided printing, a 30-page auto document feeder, easy wireless printing from your iPhone, your Android phone, your tablet. They have a variety of printers with the EcoTank. In fact, go down to the bottom one there because I love this one, the WFR4640. Comes with 20,000 pages worth of ink in the box. This is the heavy-duty, baby. You're going to love your Epson EcoTank. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank today to transform the way your home, office, or your work group prints for the best combination of ease and value. Turn to the new Epson EcoTank printers, E-P-S-O-N, Epson.com/EcoTank. And thank you, Epson, for doing the right thing for your users and for supporting our show as well. Epson.com/EcoTank. We're talking about ad blocking. He said, coming back from an ad, which probably many of you blocked. Stop it! Yom Plus is here. He's the global partnership manager at Adblock Plus. Thomas Schreiner, also from Adblock Plus. He's one of their developers. They're joining us from Germany. Dean Murphy's joining us from the UK. He's the developer of Crystal, which is one of the new iOS ad blockers. And we're talking about, you know, the moral dimensions of this, the ethical dimensions of this, and it is a thorny problem. And I am just like everybody else. I, at the same time as, you know, I make my living via advertising, I find some web pages completely unusable because the ad tech has just gotten so out of control. We, at the beginning of the show, talked about the four reasons people don't want ads. Some people just don't want ads, period. They don't like ads. They don't care. Some people say, well, I just don't want obtrusive ads. I don't want ads that are in my face because they get in the way of my browsing. But I can accept some kinds of ads as a way to pay a content provider. Some people are very worried about security. That's a newer concern because, unfortunately, with the use of Flash and other technologies, ads can be a security problem. And finally, and thank you to Yob for reminding me, a lot of people nowadays are worried about tracking and privacy and feel like advertisements are snooping on them. Ad creators, ad networks have responded in a few different ways. as I mentioned, some are just saying, hey, please turn your, you know, whitelist us. And most blockers will allow you to do that. You can do that, right, Dean and Crystal? You can whitelist or no?
Soon. Very, very soon.
Soon. So if I go to a site that says, please don't block me, I don't really have a choice with Crystal.
Not yet.
Okay.
But like I say, very soon options come in.
Yeah.
Can't come soon enough.
Yeah. And, well, you're not alone. A lot. In fact, on iOS especially, I think the iOS users in general, I think, don't want switches and options. They just want it to work. And they may even fall into that first category. Then there's sites that have decided to escalate the war. And I don't know why, but there are some sites, even when I'm running an ad blocker, I see ads. I imagine, Thomas, that you're in a continual battle to get around that. What is happening?
Well, first of all, I don't know whether I agree that this is a war, because that sounds very like marketing-ish. But it's fun. It's a nice challenge. What they're trying to do...
I'm just wondering how they're doing it.
Yeah, what they're trying to do is most of them just try to disguise their ads as organic content, for instance. Those can usually be identified quite easily because, like, for instance, countries like Germany do require ads to have a label, so they can't be exactly the same as content.
Right.
Whereas, for instance, in China, that's maybe a bit trickier. In the end, it's all about, like, who has the upper hand in the battle. And the thing is, we are, as a browser extension, we are part of the browser. So whatever capabilities the browser gives us, we will, of course, use. So, for instance, currently, our script is being executed as the first thing before any website script.
Right.
So that allows us to avoid those kind of circumvention techniques in some way. So we're constantly working on ways that are generic enough and not impacting the performance too much to get around those circumventions. Whereas, for instance, smaller ad blockers can implement those kind of functionalities quicker, just because if they circumvent the circumvention, then the publishers and so on usually don't care about it. But as soon as we do it, because we have such a large footprint, they usually care about it and then change their circumvention again. That's why it's a bit trickier for us in that case.
So sometimes they're actually targeting you.
They at least recognize it if we do it.
Yeah.
Because they do see it in their numbers, at least.
Right.
And that's usually what counts.
Right.
In other browsers or other platforms, we have just better integration into the browser or more capabilities to also hide the fact that there's an ad blocker running. So those ad block detection scripts, for instance, could then be avoided. But we're in constant talks with browser makers and also other parties to be able to create a great implementation there to circumvent the circumventions.
If I, let's say I had a website and I didn't use an ad network, I didn't serve the ads from a third party, but I just put images on my website that were advertisements, and I reported back to, most advertisers, by the way, would not go for this, but I'd report back to the advertiser, well, you got, 58,000 impressions, pay me. Would AdBlock block that kind of thing if it's a first party image?
So... First of all, like, we are not creating the rules for blocking that stuff. So there's this other organization or this other loosely coupled group of people called EasyList, which provide the blocking filters. So what we do is our extension is just downloading that filter list by default.
I see.
So that, because otherwise it's just like a content blocker without any logic in it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't do anything.
Right.
What EasyList, for instance, specifically does is they have a guideline for non-paid ads, kind of ads for their own content.
Yeah.
So those would not be blocked, but third-party ads or kind in general like paid content, those would be blocked.
It's almost as if, and I bet you that's how Dean began doing this for himself. You're modifying your host's file and saying, well, I don't want to get any content from these IP addresses, which I know to be ad networks. But you go beyond, but EasyList takes you beyond that. Dean, is that how you started?
I actually started just blocking all the third-party stuff on one particular website.
All third-party stuff?
Just all the third-party. I'm just going through the Safari web tools and looking at all the stuff that loads in the background when you load the web page.
And nowadays, like... by the way, that could break a site because a lot of sites, if you're using, you know, a Node or something, a JavaScript framework, you might well be loading JavaScript from a third party, which, of course, is a huge security risk, but not as an advertising mechanism, but merely so you didn't have to include the JavaScript in your own code.
Definitely. It was a little bit of trial and error on this website, just seeing what I could block, what I couldn't block. Just this is really just a very, you know, the content blocking API had been out for like 2 days. Like, I'd only just downloaded the beta of iOS 9 at this point. So I blocked, basically the page loaded from, it takes 11 seconds to load. I got it down to 2 seconds. And that's when I thought, either this is a mistake or this website is very bloated. And it turns out a lot of other websites are very bloated. And I experimented with EasyList. That seems to be like the go-to filter list, pretty much standard in the industry for ad blocking. So I just kind of adapted that and adapted Easy Privacy as well to get the best performance benefits. And that's where it all came from, basically.
When I saw on your blog, as I mentioned earlier, the benchmarks that you had done on page load times.
There we go.
It's like, okay. You win, you know, and some of, but I have to say, you know, some of these guys are my friends, like iMore. We love iMore, and I want to support iMore, and I want iMore to make more content. But when you look at the fact that iMore with ads takes 12 seconds to load, without ads takes 2 seconds to load, it kind of brings it home to you. And I feel like we've got to find some solution to this. Maybe acceptable ads is the only reasonable way to solve this problem.
Yeah, especially on mobile, performance is a big issue, you know, where devices aren't. Yeah, you know, at home I've got like the fiber internet, I've got a, you know, quad-core computer. On my mobile, it's just not as powerful, not as fast, and, you know, memory restraints and everything.
Yob, do you know, you guys are actually obviously keeping metrics on what you're doing, what you're blocking. How many ads have you blocked? Do you know?
Oh, if only if we would know that. No, we actually don't keep those metrics of which ads we block. We do not collect any information about our users or their browsing behavior. So we would no idea. But
you know something because you're able to look at this top 10% of blocked content. Where does that come from?
So what we do in that specific case is that we just work together with a partner that we, that we just like to talk with them, like, okay, so how many blocked impressions do you see, from
ads? So do they get, okay, so when I go to a site and it's got an ad and the ad is blocked, does the advertiser get notification that their ad has been blocked? No. They don't know I used AdBlock Plus, right?
They would only see, of course, like that an error occurred. That error could be anything. It could just be a regular network error, 404 or whatever.
Right, I get it. So from there, and you don't block. That's interesting. You don't block track analytics because analytics are kind of the lifeblood of some websites. The reason I said that, you know, this, if I served a first party ad, the reason I said no advertiser would accept it is because they want to know how many impressions they got, not what I tell them. And so the ad networks, that's one of the things they do is they count how many times that ad was served and how, whether it was seen. Of course, they have to count whether it was clicked on as well. So ad companies have some reasonable amount of tracking built in there. Does do not track doesn't stop that? Or does it? Thomas or Yob, do you want to answer that? Thomas, you're the developer, so you probably know best what's really going on behind the scenes here.
Well, I haven't looked too much into that new revision of Do Not Track yet. But I think it's more about, like, for instance, how long logs are being kept, what is being tracked, and so on.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it specifically targets. Like, will anything be tracked? But sorry about that.
Yeah. I just, maybe I'm worrying for no reason. I just worry And it's and again, it's not for me. We have a couple of banner ads on our website, but it's by no means a huge part of our revenue. Most of the revenue we make is from the ads that are in interstitial ads inserted into the podcast. And to date, Adblock Plus doesn't block. Are you you're not planning on blocking ads in podcasts, are you?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. Oh, boy.
If there would be demand and if it would be technically easy, then maybe. But then there would still be acceptable ads, obviously. So
right.
If an ad is really unobtrusive, very well integrated, for instance, into the content without being misleading, being disguised as organic content, right. Then we could at least talk about it. But like currently, it's not even discussable because right. there's no technology solution.
In fact, I would say that our ads would always be considered unacceptable content because they interrupt the content flow. They're interstitial. You cannot, you know, it's exact. You know, if this were a web page, it'd be me saying, "Hey, stop reading this page for a minute because I want to tell you something," and that would be completely unacceptable.
Well, but what you usually always argue for is that your ads actually also provide value, right?
Well, I hope they do, but
don't just have like a spot in between.
Right.
That's too impersonal. Nobody right. likes that. So you rather like tell about like your own experiences and so on.
Right.
So I think that's just probably a different level of ads there.
It's, you know, you see my conflict here because as a user, and when I look at like those iMore numbers, I go, yeah, I got to block ads for security reasons. Privacy, I'm not so worried about, but for security reasons. And just for aesthetic reasons. On the other hand, I also understand what it's like to be a company that lives on ads and your users saying, "Oh, I want your content, but I don't want to pay for it. I don't want the ads. I'm not going to give the ads the attention." Now, by the way, there is ad blocking in podcasts. It's called Fast Forward. And it's the same ad blocking that's in any broadcast content. And unless you're watching live, you can always skip the ads. And I'm sure people do. There's not much I can do about that. We're going to take a break. I'm going to make you listen to another ad. No fast-forwarding. But we'll wrap things up with Yoav Plus and Thomas Greiner from I.O., the creators of Adblock Plus. It's if you want to download it, it's adblockplus.org. And you'll find they have plugins for, geez, Louise, Firefox, and Chrome, and Opera, and Internet Explorer, and every other browser on the planet. They also have a built-in Adblock browser available for iOS and Android. So you can use that instead of your browser that comes with your mobile device. We're also talking with Dean Murphy, who is creator of his very own ad blocker that is one of the most popular on iOS. It's called Crystal, and you can find out more about that by going to the App Store or going to the Crystal website, which is it Crystal?
Crystalapp.co.
Crystalapp.co, but I imagine most people just look for Crystal. By the way, it's a little weird on iOS because the setting in Safari to turn on ad blocking doesn't appear unless you have an ad blocker installed. So the first thing to do is go to the App Store, get Crystal, download it, and then you have to go into your settings and go into Safari, and then you'll see now a switch that says enable content blocking. You can turn that on, and Crystal will be working. I just shot myself in the foot and told you how to install all this stuff. Our show today brought to you by Igloo Software. Many businesses, especially big businesses, have a private website where employees can share files, collaborate on documents, can find out what's going on with blog updates, can coordinate calendars and manage projects. Igloo is the best. There is no better. And that's why so many companies like Hulu and American Family Insurance and Ipswich, and they're using Igloo. For one thing, you get full access for one price to their entire suite of tools. And man, is there a great tool set. Everything is social with comments and like buttons. Anyone can add content. Of course, you have control of that. You've got permissions with drag and drop widgets, a WYSIWYG editor. It's responsive design, so you don't have a separate internet for mobile. It all looks great on your desk or on your phone. You can, if you're stuck using SharePoint or you're a fast-growing business just overwhelmed by all the different tools, you can now create an intranet that matches your brand's look and feel, simplifies how you work, is accessible everywhere, has complete authentication control and identity services. So you make sure that, of course, only the authorized users can access it in a private cloud on SSL with 256-bit encryption. Igloo, as low as $3 per user per month. They're also, they also have volume pricing. Government agencies use it, too. That'll give you some idea that it really is the best out there. IglooSoftware.com/twit to try it for free. In fact, if you're a small business, you'll like this because you can set it up for 10 people absolutely free forever. So if you're just getting started or you want to try it, IglooSoftware.com/twit. This is really changing the way businesses work for the better. Igloo Software, I-G-L-O-O, software.com/twit. We're talking about ad blocking, a contentious subject to say the least, although the writing's on the wall. There's not one of our viewers who doesn't agree that ad blocking is the only way to go. In fact, most of them use some form of ad blocker. More people use Adblock Plus probably than any other. And, of course, if you're on iOS, Crystal is one of the most popular as well. I think this has been productive, and it's been challenging. Have I misstated anything? Is there anything you guys want to add, Yob and Thomas? Anything you want to add? I don't want any Dean to have to write a blog post saying Leo got it all wrong.
No, but maybe just like a small plug there. Like Adblock Plus is open source, so anyone who thinks like that we're doing something wrong or so can of course contribute to it and make it better. Or if they feel like that the performance sucks, for instance, feel free to join us in developing it.
So do you have contributors who don't work for IO?
Yeah, there are a couple of them, yeah.
That's nice.
Not like constant contributors, but like now and then, like people contribute something. And we do encourage that, obviously.
Are you on GitHub? Where can people see the source?
We are obviously on hg.adblockplus.org. That's where you can get our Mercurial repositories.
But we
also have a github.com. We have a couple of repositories on there. So whichever you prefer, either Git or Mercurial.
And if you click the contribute link at adblockplus.org, you'll see, among other things, you can contribute code.
Right.
And one of the contributions people can make is translating it into other languages. How many languages are you in now? Lots.
Like 60 or so.
Wow. What country? Is Germany the number one ad-blocking country? I think it is.
Yeah.
I saw somewhere 41% of all users in Germany have an ad blocker running. Zach. Is that even possible?
Yeah, no, that's actually correct. Of the total online population, 40% has an ad blocker installed. So it's in Germany. It's huge.
No wonder Axel Springer's suing you. This has got to be hurting their bottom line a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, as one of the more old-fashioned is not the right word, but like older publishing houses out there that have seen their paper business just decline since over the last decades. Now, on top of that, they are struggling with their online monetization because of this asshole ad blockers out there. So we understand that there's a lot of frustration there. Yeah.
And of course, if you're on iOS, Crystal is a great choice, and you can find that. Thank you, Dean, for making that possible. Have I represented everything properly here?
I think you've just asked the questions. We've given the answers. It's up to us to represent ourselves.
So. Yeah, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. And as you can tell, I'm sympathetic. At the same time, it's challenging, and I don't. Let me ask all three of you: are all ads bad?
No.
Even Dean, even you would say that.
Yeah, yep. Even me. They're not all bad.
And if people's privacy could be protected, their security could be protected, and ads could merely be informative and useful and non-obtrusive, they'd be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So it really then the responsibility then is on the back of the publishers and the ad networks,
the IAB to
live up to that, to what the people they're advertising to. I guess they're not users, they're customers. What their customers expect and want, and I think it's in some ways you're holding the ads hostage. You're holding the advertisers hostage, saying, well, if you want to, but I think it's not unreasonable to say, as a user, if you want to reach me, don't insult me, don't annoy me, don't track me, and whatever you do, don't infect me, and I'll see your ad. I'll accept your ad. I don't think that's an unreasonable point of view.
Yeah, and to the point, Doc Searls, you're probably familiar with him. Yeah, so he said about ad blocking, it's the biggest boycott we've seen in human history. So I think that is also very important for basically all stakeholders on the web to understand that if ads didn't suck, we would not be here. We would not be having this conversation with you right now. It is just like the last years of just increasingly annoying ad formats, more and more just annoying the user in their browsing experience. And now on mobile, that has been the greatest catalyst for our growth. So we kind of like owe it to instances like the IAB and publishers to just annoy the user. So I think it is important to understand that like, there's a need for a paradigm shift to really rethink online advertising from the ground up and really put the user first.
And I completely agree with you. It's why we do the ads that we do the way we do them is because I've always felt that way, that advertisers should come to a community like our community as peers and say, here's what we offer. And if you're interested, try it out, but not try to trick them or shame them or shake them into paying attention. On the other hand, I also understand that people actually, especially on, you know, and this is one of the reasons this is happening, banner ads, we don't see them. They are invisible. I know myself when I'm reading I don't even know that there's an ad there when I'm reading a website because they, you know, I've learned to tune them out. And so advertisers have learned that if we're going to make ads work, we have to annoy you. The most successful television ad campaign almost of all time was Please Don't Squeeze the Charmin. You guys never saw it because it probably was not in the UK or Germany. But it was annoying, but it worked. And one of the reasons ads are so annoying is because, sad to say, they work. I like what Doc said. This is the biggest boycott, the biggest consumer boycott in history, blocking ads. I want to thank you, all three of you, for spending time with us. This has been really fascinating. And I knew it would be, so I'm really glad to have you. Dean Murphy, thank you for being here, for Crystal and Crystal AdBlocker.
Me.
Really great to talk to you. Thomas Schreiner, he's one of the developers at AdBlock Plus and Yob Plus, the Global Partnership Manager. I got your titles right this time from IO, the makers of AdBlock Plus.
Thank you so much for having us, Leo. It was a great conversation.
A real pleasure. I'm sorry we couldn't do it when you were in studio, but I'm glad we could do it via Skype. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
We do triangulation every Monday, 11 a.m. It's how I start my weekend. I love it. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. If you want to watch live, be in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. We appreciate that because it really helps me with the show to ask the questions you want to ask. But if you can't, of course, we make it available on demand after the fact. twit.tv/TRI, or you can subscribe in your favorite podcatcher, Marco's Overcast or Stitcher or Slacker. We're on Apple TV, thanks to our independent developers. We're on Roku. We're everywhere. Please subscribe. Please watch every week. And you know what? Please support our advertisers because they're what makes it all possible. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Triangulation.